Hey, thanks for saying hi to somebody and greeting them. And you can have a seat. Hey, happy New Year. New Year's Eve, that thing. Hey, there we go. Good. Hey, my name's Tim. I'm the lead pastor here. It's great to be with you this morning. I don't know where you're coming in from, but I think many of us have just kind of been disrupted in some way over the last week, whether it be weather or just our schedule or what's going on, and that all sense of what is normal is gone, and we're looking for something to kind of get us back in the right groove, or maybe you just love it and you don't want what is normal to come back. You might be in that place as well. For me, there's something about walking into a time and a space and a place like this, and being able to sing about Jesus with brothers and sisters who are seeking Jesus, knowing Jesus, and walking with Jesus as well, and just to be able to stand and to sing things that are true of God, Jesus, how he views us, who he knows us to be, and so I hope that's true of you as well in this time, in this space, here this morning. For the last six Sundays prior to this morning, we have been looking at the words of Jesus in the book of John, which is in the New Testament, in the Bible. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. And there are seven times where Jesus describes himself using a statement, I am, and then uses familiar, simple, common language, pictures, metaphors to describe who he is. And we've been spending this season leading up into Christmas and just trying to hear who Jesus is again in his own words, and be reminded of that in an effort to celebrate Christmas really well, the coming of Jesus some 2,000 years ago. Jesus uses these are icons or symbols in the back here on these seven pieces of wood, but I'm the bread of life, I'm the resurrection of life, I'm the gate, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the vine, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and I'm the light. And something that we've done on this particular Sunday for the last few years has been to do something called Lessons Learned, where we invite folks within our community to share how they've experienced Jesus in the past year, how they've grown, something that God has taught them. And this year, we're changing it just a little bit by asking a very specific question of how have you experienced Jesus as, and then fill in one of these. So how have you experienced Jesus as, say, the bread of life or as the resurrection of a life? Has Jesus been that to you? Have you experienced Jesus in that way, in some way? And so we've invited three people that are going to come in and sit right here and answer that question in front of us this morning. And as they do that, I want to ask you to do something with me in this time. Two things specifically. One, will you listen really well? I know that might be taken for granted, but I just want to ask you to listen to them well, and to maybe even ask yourself that question of how have you experienced Jesus as the ones that they share. Maybe it's your own. And the second thing is this: will you, as you're listening to them, would you keep your eyes open and smile? It's kind of three things. I realize I snuck in eyes and mouth smile, but here's the deal. Patrick's part of our community. He's not been up here very often. Christine has been up here a few times. Connor has been up here a few times, but they're not normally up here and sharing their lives with us. And so it would be a great way for us to help them to listen well and to have it actually look on our face like we really care and we're engaged. So eyes open and smiling is so much better than kind of half asleep. So I'm just going to ask that we do that together and encourage them as they're up here. But Patrick, Connor, and Christine are going to come up here and share from their lives as they answer this question. They're each going to go about 5 to 7 minutes. So if you care about that kind of thing, you can put them on the stopwatch. They'd really appreciate that as well. But they're going to come up, and would you join me in just welcoming them as they come up here?
Okay, hello. I am Patrick. I've been coming to Mosaic for about 5 years now, and I've been involved for the last 2 years in the leadership and training here, specifically lately with our chapter of 423 Communities.
Yeah. My name is Connor. I'm on staff here at Mosaic. I spend most of my time with kind of kindergarten through 12th grade, so You're in the room today too, so welcome. We're really excited to have you. And I think I've been around Mosaic about the same time as Patrick. Yeah, 5 or 6 years. So, yeah.
And I'm Christine, and my official title is Pastor in Residence, and that really means I'm in training. And I've been here about 5 months at Mosaic, and I do lots of different things, and that's a really great part of my job.
I'm going to kick us off. The question being, how have I experienced Jesus as the bread of life is what I'm going to talk about. John 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. About a year ago, my wife and I started talking about a new car, which was really exciting. Neither of us have ever driven a new car, and so this kind of prospect of like something other than an old used car was very exciting. And so we started kind of making a list. We got really excited about things like air conditioning, power steering. Our most reliable car at the time was a 40-year-old Volkswagen bus, and man, it's just like a roll of the dice every time you turn the key on that thing. Like, you just never know what's going to happen. And so we were excited to make a list and kind of go shopping and go get excited about something new. And part of that process was really praying about it, asking God for his provision, for him to kind of lead and guide us to the right car at the right price. I'm someone who, if I see something I really like, it's hard to get my mind off of that. So I really wanted to invite kind of God into that decision. And in October, we found that car, and we were really excited. My wife found it on Craigslist, and I went out to this dealership where it was and looked at it and test drove and used my really critical eye to make sure all the things were in order, and we bought it, and we're excited. So we are the proud owners of this one-year-old Subaru. And actually, there's a picture of it that Mary's going to... Oh, yeah. So it's not a very good picture. But if you're out looking on the right screen, it's not this one, but that one right there. Yeah, it's good looking, right? It's silver. And this is actually... This is a video. It's not a picture. So just watch. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that thing that you just verbalized has been like my heart. Just, So my wife drove this car to work and parked it on the street. And lo and behold, a guy who was driving under the influence fell asleep at the wheel and just plowed right into the side of our car that we had had for 6 days. 6 days. So we didn't even make it a week. And then the car went into the shop for 2 months. And if you've ever dealt with car stuff, it's like not that enjoyable. It's like a lot of phone calls, a lot of insurance back and forth. It's a, like facilitating rental car, and then your rental coverage expires. And, you know, like it's just this, it kind of wrecked us in like a way that I was not expecting. It's a car, but for something that we had felt like we really asked God for and were feeling like he was providing, it kind of led us to a place of asking some bigger questions than I was really ready for. Questions kind of like why? God, how could you let this happen? Did I misunderstand you when it said like this was a good idea? God, why does somebody else's bad decision affect us so poorly when this really feel like something we needed and wanted? God, like you say, you're the bread of life, but this doesn't really feel like that bread. And through that questioning, funny enough, like this scripture has kind of just changed some of my thinking on that. So towards the beginning of the biblical story, God has led his people out of Egypt where they were enslaved. And in the midst of their wandering in the desert and grumbling and complaining, wishing they were back in slavery, God says, I will provide for you. And in Exodus 16, he says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And in a place where there was no food, God provided food for his people. In the New Testament, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and that kind of really famous prayer that a lot of us know, part of that says, give us this day our daily bread. So bread symbolizing just the necessities of life, what sustenance looks like, what do you need God to provide for you? In my questioning, what I felt was God kind of gently leading me to this realization that I had my eyes on the wrong bread. I was thinking of this car as really the bread that God was providing. It was his provision. He had solved a problem for us and had delivered us to this car. And really my eyes were on the wrong bread. In John 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Not the car I provide you, not your life going smoothly, not the job working out or us being healthy all year long. That's not the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And so this is kind of a paradigm shift for me because it was this realization that I've been looking at the wrong thing. And what Jesus is offering is not a kind of catch-all, solve all the world's problems, but he says, in your trouble, I will be with you, and I know you, and it changed my view on this whole thing. Through that lens, I was able to kind of even look back at that same car accident and say, like, God, you were there, like, you provided. Like, it's awesome that Chloe and I were not in the car when it got hit. it's awesome that we have video camera footage of the incident itself. That was really helpful for insurance, like speeding things along. We didn't pay for our car to get fixed. That got worked out. And through, like, the generosity of our friends and family, like, we actually weren't without transportation for those 2 months. Even when our rental coverage expired, like, we borrowed cars and prayed that the bus would start. And, like, we did it, you know. So all that to say, like, the shift for me has been that I'm often looking at God's provision and mistaking it for the thing he's actually offering, which is his presence with me. And so as I kind of end this year and transition to a new season, like my goal and my challenge to myself is like, put your eyes on the real bread. Put your eyes on the bread that lasts, that is sustainable, that is promised, and be thankful for the goodness, be thankful for the blessing, but the thing to anchor myself on is the presence of Jesus, who is the bread of life.
Thanks very much, Connor. I have often said that cars are much more like cake. So to see that you recognize that as well and that the bread was his support in your life is just really encouraging. I thought the cake joke would go better. Anyway, up here it was good. I'm Patrick. I chose Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says this in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I have been working at the Portland Rescue Mission for 20 months. Earlier this month, I was overseeing breakfast service, and it was starting to wrap up. We'd had a really notably peaceful meal, and we're starting to clean up and ask folks to head out of the dining room. I was folding up chairs, as anybody who's volunteered there knows, is kind of the end sign of a meal. Fold up chairs and line them up on the wall. When one of the guests that I didn't recognize came up and grabbed the chair that I had just pulled away from a table. He just glared at me and said, I'm not finished yet. I was like, okay, you know. I looked down and he just had a cup of water in front of him. So I was like, well, you're welcome to finish your glass of water, but we are cleaning up, so ask when you're done to head outside. But he responded intensely by just telling me, what are you going to do about it? I was like, oh, wow. I just kind of ignored his intensity and just said, matter-of-factly, like, well, if you aren't able to kind of go along with some of our policies, you end up losing privileges. I don't know why I came back like that, but he caught me in a moment, I suppose, off guard. He continued to kind of glare at me and then repeat, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So I just sort of froze, honestly. I just sat there waiting to see if maybe he'd just get over it and move on. And I started to repeat, you know, I have to ask you to head outside. You're welcome back the next meal. And as I'm saying this, just all of a sudden, he cracks me in the face with an open palm. So that was nice of him. no knuckles. He got me pretty good. But in the moment, my first thought was all of a sudden noticing that my glasses were gone. I was like, oh, where are my glasses? Are they broken? Folks with glasses understand. Something gets hit, that's not a pain I want to deal with. Anyway, so I noticed that was it. My body, of course, responded quickly with adrenaline, and so I was a little shook up and, you know, it got up into another gear. But my heart, my thoughts were focused on kind of practical de-escalation questions of, wow, why have I been so close to a guy who was getting pretty intense with me? I don't recognize him. Why didn't I just sort of back away and have somebody come in? So those are the thoughts right off the bat. In the exact moment he struck my face, I was calm. I felt no urge to strike back or any sense of anger, just that sinking feeling of, ah, dang it, this doesn't get to just be fun. In contrast, my first year and a half there, I've definitely been through a number of scraps with different guests and very similar situations as that, where lack of self-control, kind of judgment on unfair lashing out towards me, just desiring that kind of gut level of justice for those moments, motivated a lot of my demeanor and my actions at the time. But over time with Jesus, that has been changed, thankfully. Kind of going back, when I first started coming to Mosaic a few years ago, I was not a believer in Christ. I was not a believer, but I was invited here by someone who I loved and trusted, so kind of got me in the door. As I read through the New Testament, however, and was Jesus introduced himself to me, I began to see that he was worth my trust, that I could trust anybody, and hope that this church could represent his word, the things that I was starting to be won over by. But I kept really strong walls up around me for months while I was here and just watched and listened to the leadership like a hawk, kind of looking for an excuse to go, these guys are full of it, I'm out of here. But as time went on, it didn't happen. And I just kept coming to services, started to get to know people, build relationships, and start really seeing people's hearts the way Jesus does. And see that, yes, we're broken and imperfect, but it's still worth loving and still worth trying to step out of our comfort zone for and care for. In the last couple of years now, serving downtown as well as in leadership and training, I've begun to take very seriously how it is I can treat and receive men and women in the manner that Jesus presents in the scriptures. I have pleaded in that time for patience, grace, wisdom, to serve well. Over the past year, this effort took on an even entirely new dimension as I began studying addictions, counseling, and trauma at Portland Community College. As I've been reading book after book describing how the pain we experience in our lives from our earliest days shapes who we can become and influences our choices, I began to understand a more complete image of our brokenness and start to see how Jesus can see the truth of our lives and our experiences and our heart despite the kind of surface actions that we present or emotions or whatever tantrum we're in at the moment, and be compelled instead of judgment but by compassion and grace. As I studied those things, worked downtown, studied scripture, and just sort of kept calling on Jesus in those moments of challenge, you know, I watched my heart become totally transformed to something completely different, something even softer. I looked to Jesus constantly, just scouring his word for his way, his truth, and his life. Without him, all the education that I've been receiving could just be turned on and off, you know, at my convenience. If it felt too challenging, I'd back away, justify it. But he sort of became this this compelling force to not shy away and hide in those hard moments, but to really have him be present. So much to the point that if you strike me in the face, I will know, firstly, that you are in pain and that you are in desperate need of care and love. However, to that end, I do not invite any people who know me or not to come crack me in the face just to see where I'm at that day. but on that note, thank you very much.
And I won't try to take your mic, I promise.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I have my own. Thanks for sharing that, Patrick. We're both really bad at our delivery on jokes, aren't we? We're in this together. It's great. Hey, I'm Christine, and I'm really super excited to share about the I Am that Jesus has been to me over this last year. I chose John 10:14, which says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I was thinking about it. I have never actually realized what that scripture meant before personally. I didn't really need a shepherd. I've been pretty self-reliant, and I've struggled with that my whole life. And it comes from an honest place, a necessary place. I was raised by, I had a really extreme life of poverty in my early years. I had no dad at home, and a mom who worked all the time to support us. So I had to become very self-reliant very early. Raise my sisters and do all the things that an adult would. So that was just part of the start, and it continued throughout my whole life. And there's some good that can come of that, but at the same time, when you're not looking to Jesus as the shepherd, there's also a lot of stuff that can be hard and can be difficult and can also help. At least for me, it made me rely on myself more than I did Jesus. So just to give you a little background, over this last year, or in the beginning of this last year, my husband and I, we lived in Hood River, had grown up there, had been away for a while, but then moved back, and we lived there for about 17 years, and we raised our daughters, and a lot of things happened in that time. I started my own business, but I'd felt this call or this desire to work for the church. And so I started working at an Alliance church in Hood River. And as I was working there, I started to go to school. And eventually, I just felt this really big dream and desire to get into pastoral ministry. And what actually happened, though, was that there wasn't an open position at my church. So I felt like I had basically hit a dead end, and it was pretty disappointing. And so in my self-reliance, I thought, well, I need to make a change. But my husband and I, we both talked about it, and we decided that we would move to Portland. It seemed like a good thing to do. I could go back to Multnomah Bible College. I could get more credentials, and then it would happen that I would network at school or in some church that I found, and then I would get a pastoral job somewhere. I had this all planned out. That's part of my self-reliance too. I'm a planner, an organizer, an achiever. And so I had this whole thing worked out, and I even planned that we would sell our house and we'd live in it up until the time that we left for school. So that would be the end of July. Well, the first thing that happened is that we put our house up on the market, and in 3 days it sold. And that most people would be going, woohoo, but I was not, because that was not part of my plan. In Hood River, it's really, really hard to find a place to live, especially in the summer months. So that was a little bit of a stressor for me. Can't say that I was looking to the Good Shepherd at that point. I was just praying for help out of anxiety or something, I don't know. And then the next thing that happened was my pastor sent me an email about a part-time job at Mosaic, and it was for a pastoral position at North, and he encouraged me to apply. And I thought, I mean, if I'm being honest, I thought that he was just doing that because there wasn't an open position for me at our Hood River church. So I ended up applying. I went through the interview process, and I have to say that I probably had a little more skepticism than hope that I would actually get hired, because I thought, what doesn't make sense? I don't have the credentials. I'm not a pastor. There's a myriad of things that I thought that would prevent that. The cool thing is that, and there's so many things, in my twists and turns in my journey, and I wish I had more time than 5 to 7 minutes to talk, but I have had a shepherd this whole year in the midst of all of my planning, and then my plans not happening the way I thought. There's just a few ways that I could list, even though there's probably 20 or 30 ways. But the first way is that I feel like he has been leading me all along to Portland. My husband and I didn't even think about it. When we first married, we wanted to settle in Portland, but things happened and that never happened. And then we talked about moving to Portland several times, but because we were raising children, we thought, oh, the timing isn't right. So we just kind of put that off. And so there was this draw. Maybe that was the shepherd's staff kind of leading us, you know, the candy cane looking thing back there. I think it might have been the shepherd's staff leading us. But it was, when I think about it, it was that Jesus has been leading us. Even he put our daughters here, or they moved here, as a bonus. And so it was just this further desire to make our trek to Portland. Another way that he's been our shepherd is that he provided us a place to stay for free after our house sold. A woman at church just came up to us and said, I heard you guys sold your house, and I want you to come and live in my upstairs, and I don't want you to pay me any rent for it. And I'm just grateful for a shepherd that provided for us at that time. And then one really important part of him being my shepherd is that if I had become a pastor on my own plans, I think I would have secretly taken the credit for how good of a job I did to make it happen. I would have thought about how, oh, I put myself in the right position. I talked to the right people. I got the right credentials. I networked just in the right way. But the coolest thing is that the verse says that he knows me. And he knew what kind of pastoral position would fit me best. And he created one for me here at Mosaic. And it looks very different than I thought. I thought I would just get this pastoral position. But I'm a pastor in training, and it's good. I'm really happy about that. Because there's this sense of, in my self-reliance, that I would have felt like I had to prove myself every day. It's a better fit for me. He knows who I am so intimately that he knows what kind of job would fit me best and how I would take great joy in doing the job that I'm doing. The second part of that verse says that my sheep know me. And it's a really cool thing to know more about Jesus when you've realized how he has known you and led you to where you are. What I learned about him is that he knows me better than I know myself. He knows what I struggle with. He knows about my self-reliance. He knew what would be best for me. And then he loves and cares for me more than I realize. He's provided so much for me in this last year. Things that I didn't even know would be helpful or needed, he's provided. And then probably the most important thing is that I can trust him with everything. I can trust him with plans and with details and really with my whole life. There's a verse that kept playing through my mind over this last year. And it comes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, and even in my self-reliant ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. And that acknowledge, if you look at the root of that word, it means an intimate knowing of who he is. And so as I know him, I know that he's leading me. That's a really good thing. So the lesson learned is that I'm a sheep in training, really. And I have a good shepherd, and he's more than a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. There's a video that my friend Damaris is also going to share this morning, and it happens to be about her experience, too, as Jesus as the Good Shepherd. So would you watch that with me?